All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me in them to Luke 9:23. As you're returning there, I would like to share an interesting comment that someone said to me at my church. The person said that they were tired of playing Christian all the time. When they came to church, they were a spiritual schizophrenic, if you will. That made me think, are we as Christians just going through the motions? Are we disgusted that we are two-faced? A good description of this is a quote from a devotional that I am doing by Stephanie Davidson. She says, although Christians have access to all of God in His Word through the Holy Spirit, many do not feel as close to God as they would like. We have no purpose and no real passion. We are losing our people and not gaining any. Is this the reason why so many young people grow up in Christian homes but never return to the church when they're older? Are you playing Christian? In Mark 4, Jesus gives the parable of the 30, 60, 100-fold. As Christians, Jesus says that we will make an impact. How do you measure on that scale? I personally don't even register. These quotes explain what we will be talking about today. It is key for us to understand that Christians must not play their Christianity. We must power our Christianity through Christ. Amen. That being said, please follow along as I read Luke 9:23. It says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." There are four key points that will help us better understand what a genuine Christian's life looks like, what they do, and why it is so important for us to be genuine Christians. Through these four points, we will realize that we need to not play our Christianity. We need to power our Christianity through Christ. If you get nothing out of the sermon I am sharing from my heart, please get this. We must not play our Christianity. We must power our Christianity through Christ. In order to do that, you must surrender to Christ and empty yourself in order to genuinely love and follow Him. So why does God care about us being genuine Christians? If we are to understand how to be genuine Christians, we must first diagnose the problem and the cause of why we are not genuine. The problem is this: God is not pleased and we are not satisfied. Christian brothers and sisters are withering. The lost are perishing and the fields are ripe for harvest. Is this true? If so, then where's my harvest? The cause is this: we are not fully surrendered to Christ and do not live sacrificially for Him. There's a simple acronym that can help us understand the process that we as Christians must go through every single day in order to be genuine. Surrender, empty, love, follow, self. Not only does this acronym serve to remind us of these words, but perhaps it is the reason we lack purpose and passion. Self. So S, surrender. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." If we are going to be genuine Christians, we need to start by surrendering and emptying ourselves to God's authority. We need to place ourselves under God's authority. Strong's Concordance explains this word in James 4:7 as to place or rank under, to subject, or to obey. Galatians 2:20 is another verse that explains why we need to surrender to Christ. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." This is saying that while we are here on this world, we need to surrender our body or our life to Christ as an instrument for his using and for his glory. Our last verse that we are looking at today about surrendering is Romans 12:1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a," get this, "living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This verse is saying if our body belongs to Christ, it does make logical sense that we should fully surrender it to Him. Now that we have looked at the first step of being a genuine Christian, surrender, let us look at the second letter of this acronym, E, empty. This idea of emptying ourselves as genuine Christians is very similar to the idea of surrendering ourselves. However, it does have a different meaning in retrospect. Romans 6:11 through 13 says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Whereas the idea of surrender is more of an issue of our perspective or our attitude, the idea of emptying ourselves is more of an action that we as Christians must take in order to live the genuine life. This verse explains both surrender and emptying. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." This is an example of emptying yourself being an action that genuine Christians must take. Our lives are much like a cup. When the cup of our lives is so full of the liquid of ourselves that it doesn't have any room for the things of God, then God's power cannot be seen in our lives. However, if we empty or deny ourselves of the liquid of our own personal agenda, then God has room to work. Is your life too full of yourself? Is there no room for the Lord's work, word, or will? Is your mind full of things besides the things of God? No time for thoughts of the Lord and his work, for meditation on his word? Is your time full of activity? No time to talk with a neighbor for a couple minutes? Or allowing God to use you? Are you so full of yourself that Christ can't be seen in you or be used in you? We must empty our hands, our schedules, our self-seeking, self-prospering, self-pleasuring plans in order for Christ to be seen in our lives, in order for him to have full control and impact in them. Jesus talks about counting the cost of being his disciple. How meaningful is that to us? What sacrifice have you made for Christ recently? What has following Christ cost you? Is this verse of none effect to you? Following Christ can't be all getting and no giving. Luke 14:27 says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." If we do not take up our cross, surrender, and empty ourselves to genuinely love and follow Christ, Jesus says that we cannot be his disciple. L, love. We love God by obeying God. John 14:15 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If we love Jesus and desire to be genuine Christians, we will want to keep and follow his every command he gives us each day. There are two illustrations in the Bible that help realize this further. The first is in Matthew 22:35-40. And it says, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy strength.' This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If you really love someone, you show it by the things you do, not just by the things you say. Love is an action. It's not just merely words that we utter. The second illustration is in John 21:15-17. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' He saith unto him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He saith unto him again, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He saith unto him again the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest these. Thou knowest that I love thee.' Jesus said unto him, 'Feed my sheep.'" We love God because of his love for us. We should love God because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." When we begin to understand God's amazing love for us, our only rational reaction should be to love him back. What about you? What about us? Do we have an accurate view of God? Are we reacting the right way with genuine love for him? But also, we love God and others. The next two verses after 1 John 4:19 also say that we should love others. "We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." This is not something that God suggests. It is something that God commands us to do. Love should be the defining mark of the Christian. We should love people how God loves them. When you really study Jesus' three main commandments in the gospel, they center around these three. The first being the great commandment. That is to love God and to love others. The second, the new commandment, is to love one another. And the third is the great commission, to go make disciples, because we love them. All three of these commands are based on loving God and loving others. So what about us? If we call ourselves genuine Christians, how is our love for God? How is our love for others? Our genuine Christianity should be demonstrated by our love for God and our love for others. The last letter of this acronym, but certainly not the least, F, follow. The idea of following Jesus is kind of a big deal in the Gospels. It is mentioned 88 times in 39 verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus definitely stressed the idea of following him. To follow Jesus in the Greek is the word akalitheo, which literally means to go behind or to imitate. Matthew 10:38 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." When we call ourselves Christians, we should imitate Christ in what we say, what we do, what we think. Christian equals little Christ. This verse pretty much sums up my entire sermon I'm preaching today. We must deny ourselves, surrender empty, take up our cross daily, love, and follow him. Matthew 16:24. "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The thought of this verse is illustrated in a story many years ago from Alliance Weekly. When learning the importance of following Christ, the story of two tribesmen in the Orient took this idea quite literal. One market day in their village, two Chinese tribesmen heard a peddler of books preach the gospel. Then he began to sell gospels, promising blessings to those who not only read, but obeyed the precepts contained therein. Both men purchased copies, and taking them home, they read along till they came to the statement, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." In their desire to obey the word of God, they made two crosses of bamboo and tied them on their backs. The Chinese translation of these words, "take up his cross," is to bear his cross on his back. They carried these crosses as they visited in the market or went about the country, and then carefully hung them on the front of their houses when they were home. Seeing the earnestness of their heart, God did not leave them in the dark. Soon a Chinese worker discovered them, briefly explaining the Gospels to them, and advised them to go to Lichao for further instruction. They did so, and after a week of instruction, returned to their village and began to witness for the Lord. Several months later, they went back to Lichao, requesting baptism and further instruction. We were glad to grant both the requests, as they exhibited an earnestness seldom seen anywhere today. This story relates to both loving and following Christ. These men in the story really meant it. Are we as Christians really meaning it when we call ourselves followers of Jesus? When we truly love Christ, we will follow him in all we say, do, and think. Our actions will be dictated by our earnestness to love and follow Christ. So what about us? What about you? Is your love for God genuine? Are you genuinely loving Christ by your mindset and actions? If we truly surrender to Christ and empty ourselves for his plans, purposes, and use, our problems will be solved. God will be pleased. We will be satisfied. And our brothers and sisters in Christ will be strengthened and encouraged to continue living for him every day. The lost will be saved for eternity. So what? What have we learned today? We have learned the important point that if you desire to be a genuine Christian, you will want to love and follow Christ by emptying and surrendering yourselves to him. Another way of saying this is that if you are a genuine Christian, you will not play your Christianity. You will power your Christianity through Christ. So let's review our main points here today. We looked at the acronym of SELF. We have first learned that a genuine Christian will surrender or submit themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. They will place God's will above their own. Second, a genuine Christian will empty themselves of personal agendas and pride. They will empty themselves and allow God's Spirit to take full control of their lives. A genuine Christian will, third of all, love God above all else, which is Mark 12:30, and that they will love others, Mark 12:31, especially other Christians, John 13:34. Finally, a genuine Christian will follow Christ. Matthew 16:24 and Matthew 10:38 tell us that a genuine Christian will sacrificially and lovingly follow Christ above all else. So what about you? Have you, one, surrendered your and submitted yourselves to Christ's authority in your life? Have you emptied yourself of personal selfish pride and committed your heart to the Spirit's control? Are you loving like a genuine Christian will love? Are you loving God above all else? And do you love others in the way that God would want you to love others? Are you following Christ with your whole heart? Or are you following a different master or a different idol? The main reason that I preached this sermon today, because I want to help others realize the necessary process we must be fully committed to be genuine Christians. I want to help people consider the difference between a plain Christian and a powerful Christian. I also want to help you realize the importance of being a genuine Christian in your walk with God. You must fully surrender to Christ and fully empty yourself in order to genuinely love and follow Christ. Let me finish by reading Jesus' own words in Luke 9:23-26. And as I am reading this, ask yourself this question. Do these verses describe your life? And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his glory and in the Father's and of the holy angels. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to be genuine Christians. Help us to surrender, to empty, to love, and to follow you. Lord, if we call ourselves Christians, we will want to commit to obey every command you give us, Lord. It is not going to be easy, but whenever is the Christian life easy? In Jesus' name, amen.